Hello, this is Regina Johnston, your podcast host. Welcome to Origin, where we look at current events through the filter of a presupposition that there is a plan A, an original plan that gives context and clarity when it comes to present-day elephants in the room. We are women of different seasons with different stories, daring to talk about the tensions of the day. This is season two of Origin, and as we wrap up the year 2020, where life has been interrupted with a pandemic sweeping through the nations, imagine you are in a football game and you have just been given the two-minute warning. The end of the game is fast approaching. What is absolutely essential to finishing well? Join us for a conversation among friends, sharing real-life fears and concerns with truths we've learned along the way. It's a little messy, but always good. This is going to be fun. Well, it's been a bit since we sat around the Origin table, and it's good to be back together with my friends, Jenna McAfee and Kylie Rose, and today we're going to talk about the essential of worship. The two-minute warning has sounded. The game is almost over. So what's essential about worship? As we've started this podcast, one of the things we wanted to do is look at the elephant in the room. So what, just right off the bat, what is the elephant in the room when it comes to worship? What's some of the elephants?
Maybe one is just understanding what worship really is.
Yeah.
Like I think sometimes we can think it's that time on a Sunday morning in church where you're singing and praising and worshiping God in song. And it's just so much more than that. So I think that can be an elephant in the room.
Yeah.
I think one of the elephants, one of the gaps is that we consider Jesus, you know, to be the one in which we worship, the one in which we lay our lives down for. But if we really stop and we think about what we think about, we think about what we spend our time on, we think about the time that we're spending with him, the time we're thinking about him, the time we're spending being about his business. I think a lot of us, maybe he's not the central figure.
Maybe not.
He's not, ultimately the one that we worship. So what are we worshiping really? And I think our time and our money, our attention, our heart, it's a huge indicator as to what we actually do worship. So
yeah, sometimes when we're in a corporate gathering and we're singing together and we're singing, it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. And I'm sitting there thinking, is it really? Is it really, you know, and not just about what's happening in the room, you know, but I'm thinking what's happening in my heart? Is it really, you know, so
yeah,
I think that is an elephant in the room. Also, I think sometimes one of the things I see with worship is we seem to think sometimes that we can be near worship gatherings, be in the room. And we're going to go into what worship is. It's so much more than a gathering of people who are singing songs. But even then, that somehow we can be near what worship looks like or is, but not participate.
Yeah.
I've seen that.
Absolutely.
Non-participation.
Yeah.
You know.
I think if you stand in front of the room, probably, as some people do on the platform, I mean, the idea is not that it's the people on the platform, but it's the room steps into God's presence and worships. But I mean, I think that eyes and body language can tell you a lot about where people are. I mean, it's not about us.
Behaviors.
Yeah.
I mean, whether or not we're surrendered, submitted.
Hunger.
You know, whether or not we're really worshipers. Are we really worshipers if we're, you know, not participating, if we're a non-participant?
Like even what Kylie said, you know, are we, what do we worship? And, you know, we've been asking ourselves that with the 180 and, you know, like we don't, we read the word and see that they worship stone figures and metal figures. But I mean, we do the exact same thing.
Right.
I mean,
they don't have God names.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's where our time and attention is.
Right.
And so God really wants us to choose.
Right.
And really it all, he has to be first.
Right. I mean, they might would have God names if it was written in a book today. The sun God, the vacation God, the luxury God.
The coffee God.
The comfort God. Yeah. The money
God. The gym God.
Yeah.
I mean, the perfect body God.
Yeah, that would be nice.
The perfect job.
Sweet, by and by.
The perfect job. Yeah. You know, yeah. Success.
Relationship God.
Right.
You know. The make me happy God.
And worship really denotes this idea of superiority. I am worshiping you. I'm putting you first. So everything that we just said, there's nothing wrong with those things in and of themselves. But when we get things twisted, you know, that is whenever we're stepping into these places of idolatry and there's consequences. Yeah. Like worship, not only it's for him and it puts him, it keeps him in his rightful place because he deserves all the worship, but something actually happens in us as
deep
worshipers.
Yes.
And so I think you can gauge your thoughts whenever you're in an anxious place, when you're in a frustrated place and you're staying in that place. What have I been worshiping?
Yeah.
You know, when I feel numb, when I feel dry, when I feel disconnected, when I feel I'm picking up offenses easily.
That's a good question.
What am I worshiping?
Yeah.
You know,
or who?
Maybe
yeah.
I've drifted. Yeah. Maybe what was once center isn't center right now, or hasn't been center in a long time, or maybe was never center. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was just a part of my life, but he hasn't been the central figure, the axis in which everything else revolves around. What am I worshiping?
You know, I find there's a tension that we keep trying to put ourselves in the center, self God, the self, you know, and we bow to ourselves, we serve ourselves, we worship ourselves, we minister to ourselves, and we're miserable.
Yeah.
I know, I was thinking when Kylie was saying that just a minute ago, that worship sets us right too. It sets us right because that's what we were made to do. And when we're not doing that, really nothing's right about our lives. But we don't really get it.
No.
You know, we just don't really get it. I know one of the things that I taught that I've kind of done over the years to test myself is to listen to the words that come out of my mouth to find out, is there any anger in there? Is there any, like, what's in my heart?
Yeah.
Listen to the words that come out of your mouth. But also, I mean, we've talked in here about, you know, where is the bulk of your time going in your day and your thoughts? You know, where are your thoughts?
Yeah.
That's what kind of help you see, you know, where you are. But we talk about this, it's what we were made for and it's good for us.
Right.
Like it's the best.
Yeah.
It's the best life.
Yeah. And we're going to talk about a lot of things that happen in the midst of worship and what that really does and how important it really is. But I want us to just look for a few moments at the end that we're wanting to keep in mind, because our thoughts are what is essential with the end in mind. So when we're looking at our world today, what in the world is happening in our world? Like, what's going on? What are some things that maybe we can say, okay, This is why worship is so crucial in this moment, in this season.
Oh, so much. We see racial tensions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we see the family unit
eroding.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just even what that is. You know.
Boring. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All sorts of things.
I mean, integrity. You know, just seems to be gone. We see. Lies, really. I mean, we see truth being questioned and truth not being understood or clear. unclear. Like things are clouded. Infighting. There's infighting within the family, but even within our own nation.
Within the church.
Within the church.
It's big right now. It's not pretty.
Yeah.
Disunity. Yeah. Obviously famines and earthquakes, but you know, it seems to be that some of these things are increasing in intensity. I just was reading this morning about South Africa, and they're in intense disarray right now. There's just unrest, and our missionaries are a bit concerned. They're actually asking for prayer because they're feeling like it's an unsafe place to be right now. And, you know, we just saw recently, there was another country just recently that had some unrest over elections. Who was that? It's not coming to mind right now. I feel really bad.
Was it the Dominican? It was some place in South?
It's not coming to mind right now, but I mean, there's just been,
well,
of course,
Israel. I mean, Israel's been a huge upheaval.
They debunked a leader or dethroned a leader. Yeah, that's true. And then Haiti. They just killed a leader, you know, in Haiti.
Oh, that's the one I was
That's
where I was.
Right. And then here we are in America at such unrest politically. There's political wars and race wars, like you said, Kylie, and deception. Yeah. Like we're making decisions based upon deception, you know, and it's just.
We just came out of a very long season called COVID.
Right.
Yeah.
There's lawlessness, you know, what used to be unacceptable is now acceptable as long as you have like a good reason, you know, or a reason that passes muster, you know,
it's culturally
politically.
Acceptable.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it's just a crazy, crazy place that we're in. I know Matthew 24:8 says all this is just the start of birth pains. So is that what this is? Birth pains?
It sure looks like
it. Are we in the midst of birth pains? Yeah. I mean, I feel like we maybe are.
He's coming back.
Yeah.
He's coming back.
Yeah, I believe that. I know, and I don't know if we want to go here. We'll just touch on it really quickly. Revelation 12 says, a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun with the moon under her feet and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on its heads. And there are some who believe that in 2017, that exact constellation was seen in the heavens. And so I think that's really interesting to me. I mean, I don't have all the understanding of it, all the facts on it, but it's very intriguing. And then another thing that stood out was the fact about the nation of Israel. What stands out to you about the nation of Israel and its being established?
I know in Luke 21, Jesus was talking about the end coming. And he said, you know, he's talking about the signs of the times, some of the exact same signs we just talked about that we're seeing right now in our day. And then he said, when the nation of Israel begins to sprout again, that a generation will not pass away until he returns. And the nation of Israel was established again in 1948, which we could definitely say that's a sprouting. When they it came back together and was established. And so even scripture identifies a generation as 70 years, like a man will live 70 years, but if he's strong, maybe 80. So we're in that in between 70 and 80 years right now. In fact, Israel's birthday this last May, Israel turned 73 years old.
Wow.
And so...
I mean, no one can know the hour
or
the day.
Right.
Yeah. We can't pinpoint that.
Right.
A lot of people try to, and it's just not the main thing is that we need to know Jesus is coming
and
he's coming soon and be ready.
Yes.
Be on guard.
I thought about why did Jesus even speak all these things to the disciples? And it's in our word now, you know, before he was, you know, before all that happened, why did he do that? And because he wanted us to be ready. And he said, when you see this, you're going to know it's the beginning of birth pains.
Yeah.
So I know we're in a birthing process right now.
Definitely.
So.
Definitely. Okay. So with that in mind, with the urgency of the end in mind, why worship? Why worship? Give me some practicalities. What does worship do?
You know, worship, it's a form. We've talked about this, I believe, on other podcasts. We've heard the expression, ignorance is bliss. Uh-huh. You know, if I just don't know about it, then it won't mess with me. If I don't mess with it, then it won't mess with me. But we know that that is not how spiritual warfare works. That as believers, the day, I mean, we're engaged in it, and we're called to engage in it because people need to know Jesus.
Right.
You know, we are called as ambassadors of Christ to push back the darkness every single day in how we live our lives. And worship, what it does, it is a form. It is a weapon in our arsenal. And not one that would be nice to have, but one that you absolutely need. It is essential if you're going to engage in spiritual warfare day in and day out, because we talked about all, I mean, even just us talking about everything going on in the world right now,
right?
That's heavy.
Okay, but it's I don't want to fight.
Yeah.
Well, does that matter?
No.
You're in it, no matter what.
Yeah.
You're in the fight.
If you're not... Yeah. You're winning or losing. There is no standing still
in battle. No in between.
Yeah. And if you are not actively engaging in it, you're losing. You're losing ground. You're losing hope. You're losing joy. You're not living out your purpose. We were never called to sit still. Have you ever wondered why human beings have such a hard time sitting still? Whether it be in traffic or like you're sitting on an airplane, and you'd be sitting in the airport anyway. But the fact that you're sitting on that runway, not moving, it's frustrating. Why? Because we were called, we were meant to move. We were meant for movement and purpose and action and flying, you know, and warfare. It's worship. It's a form. It's a tool when we engage in spiritual warfare. And it allows us to reorient ourselves and reorient our eyes. There's a lot going on in the world, but what worship does is it reorients us and it reminds us, I serve a God who is bigger.
Yeah.
I serve a God who is better. I serve a God who has a plan, who loves me, and he's holding me and he's got me. Yeah. And so
it's an offensive weapon.
Yes.
You know, Psalm 149:6 says, may the praise of God be in their mouths and a double-edged sword in their hands. And, you know, I know it sounds like sometimes we as believers talk about warfare, you know, a lot. And may sound funny to people who are not in Christendom, but Ephesians 6 says that there are evil rulers and authorities in the unseen world, principalities and demonic powers that are at work. So we better be at work.
Yeah. And I mean, we know that our enemy is not flesh and blood, but the enemy uses flesh and blood.
Right.
And it feels like it's the flesh and blood, but we have to see it's not. And we can still fight that. I mean, we want to see the people that we would say, you know, they're opposed to what God wants to see them saved.
Right.
And so we can fight for that in worship. Worship is so much more. It's what we're going to talk about, but John 4:23-24, Jesus says that time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in the spirit and in truth, in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. And so when we enter into worship, we're entering that spiritual realm, like Kylie said, you know, we're in the spiritual realm, and that is like we're making declarations in the spiritual realm. That's what we're doing.
Right.
We're making declarations like, you know, about God's supremacy and God, you're over all, and God, you fight our battles. And, you know, everything has to bow its knee to the name of Jesus. And, you know, we're fighting
right
then and there. And I thought, one of our speakers this season said that worship is an offensive strategy. It's you're taking the offensive, which I think we've always talked about the word being offensive, but this is the word, you know, declared in song, but it's also
in
just
life.
in our life. It's a lifestyle.
Our behavior. Yeah.
It's a lifestyle.
Right.
And so
you will never feel more in tune with your purpose and who you are as an image bearer than when you are in the presence of God, acknowledging Him in that way.
Surrendering.
Lifting up His name. I mean, all of us, we come into these church settings, you know, week in and week out, and life is hard, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot going on in our day-to-day lives.
Absolutely.
And we won't make it. We just simply won't make it if we do not posture ourselves. God, this, you know, Regina, you spoke on Sunday, and one of the very first things she said was, like, when you're facing something that's really hard, just admit it. And so it's just coming into this place and acknowledging, God, this is really hard. This anxiety that I'm feeling, this depression that I'm carrying, this loss, this betrayal, whatever it is you're facing. But instead of putting a period there, God, this, whatever it is hard, period. God, this is hard, but.
Right.
But I know that you're faithful.
Good.
But
yeah.
I know that you're good. But I know you won't leave me. I know you won't forsake me.
It's a reminder.
I know where you sit, and you sit above all of it.
Right.
And so there is something that it's a lifeline. Worship is a lifeline. It's not the fluffy four songs at the beginning of a church service, you know, where we just get to figure out what worship style we like and we pick our churches based off of what they play and what they don't play. Well, that's too loud. And it has nothing to do with that at all.
Right.
It's a lifeline that connects me to the God who reigns above every single thing that I can't control, that's bigger than me.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we do it to honor Him, but it's for us. It's a reset for us.
It's reciprocal.
It's a refocus for us. It's like you've got to not let everything that's swarming in your life overtake you. You've got to go higher, and you've got to see the way He sees what's going on. And it allows you to do that. And you need it. We need that. We need that daily, really.
Yeah.
We really need that every day. We need that reset every day.
Matthew 24, Jesus said, those who stand firm and endure to the end will be saved. And what I heard Kylie say is you're either winning or losing.
Right.
You know, and so one of the reasons worship is so essential is because we won't make it to the end unless we establish ourselves as worshipers. And so I just wanted to be sure that we spoke the fact that, man, if we don't establish ourselves as worshipers, we're not going to make it. You know, we've got to do that because they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength.
Yeah.
And we need to have our strength renewed in this day, in this season, when so many things are swarming. And, you know, they tell us that we're trying to process more information during this season of life than generations before us because of technology. And we were not meant to process so many things at once. And so people are anxious and people are, they're just, you know, depressed. They're dealing with depression and people are committing suicide because it's just too much. I won't make it unless I establish myself as a worshiper.
And
it's
that's crucial. And that's the goal line.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about the goal line. I know last podcast, Danielle was saying, you know, we're not meant to just crawl over that line, you know, over the finish line.
Yeah.
We're not just meant to do that.
Yeah.
But be victorious in Him.
Yeah.
And bring people with us. So
I think there's an intentionality. You talked about how we're constantly over-processing, like we're inundated with voices and noise and things and schedules and all the things. So I know even for me, there has to be this intentional, like, okay, Lord, I want to come into your presence. I want to seek you and I want to find you but even in that moment, there are times when there are things just vying for my attention. There are moments where I have to like really press in. I find that worship is this intentional endeavor, like this daily intentional endeavor. If it's added on, you just simply won't do it.
Right.
You just won't do it. I mean, the noise will block out. The schedules will block out. There's not going to be this magic moment within the span of a day where it's like, okay, you know, I have to intentionally, it has to be a lifestyle, not just an add-on.
Yeah.
Like this intentional.
You know, Kylie, when you were talking a little while ago about how, you know, many things are bombarding us. And I thought, is it because in this day and age, you know, we see all of the things, but also because there's an intensity as he draws near, you know, that there's an intensity. And so I know that generations ago, people did have a rest more in their day than they maybe have now. But with that intensity, you know, becomes that intentionality has to come to, right?
Yeah. Well, we talked about worship being warfare and it helps us fight our battles. So give me some practicalities. How in the world does establishing ourselves as worshipers help us fight our battles? I think, Kylie, you kind of got us thinking about that a little bit ago when you talked about how that it magnifies God over our situations. But what else? What else? How else does it help us fight our battles?
This is more of a practical, I guess, thing that I have tried to set up over the years. There's a lot of places to turn in moments of crisis. So I think one of the things we can do whenever you're faced with something really hard is just simply ask yourself, what is my order of operations?
Yeah.
You know, when something hard lands at my doorstep, what's the very first thing that I do? And if we can establish some ground rules and we can begin to practice this discipline of going to him first, you know, do I go to Facebook first? Do I call my friends first? Do I seek advice from a counselor first? None of those things are necessarily wrong in and of itself. It's just the order in which we do them.
Right.
And so if I can establish a lifestyle, when something is going, like, what is the very first thing? Maybe it doesn't even have to be crisis. Maybe it's just a normal Tuesday. What do I do? The very first thing, do I orient myself? God, you are good.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm going to start this day by worshiping you. And then I'm going to position myself throughout the day to look for you and to thank you because you're good. And then I'm going to end my day with worship. And that doesn't necessarily mean laying in your floor all day long. Wouldn't that be so great if we could do that? But we can't realistically. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we can and sometimes we can't. So what does like worship practically look like? I think it's just this intentional acknowledgement of him throughout the day, every day, all day, the beginning of my day, the end of my day, that I am constantly looking for his goodness.
Yeah.
And I'm thanking him for it. Thank you. You're good. You're faithful.
I think what I'm hearing you say is not only does it elevate him above our situations, but it also reestablishes our thoughts and our perspective. In effect, it brings the kingdom of God to our processes of thinking and behaving, which is what we need.
Absolutely.
We need that.
Yeah.
And so
desperate for it.
Right. We need that readjustment because, I mean, if we look at life as it is to us, we have not the ability within us to fix everything, to even understand everything. We have to have established within our minds and our hearts that there is someone greater who gets it all.
Yeah.
And it's not us. That takes away a lot of the pressure on my shoulders. And so by alleviating that thought that I'm in charge of it all and I got to do something about all of this, but that someone else is, actually I'm winning.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? I mean, that's the supernatural way of things, that that when I do that, then I'm winning in my battles. So I love that.
So we basically, you're saying we just got to acknowledge we have need.
Right.
Absolutely. Like, first of all, and where we go for that need, which is to our Creator.
And that so speaks to a world who needs hope.
Right.
You know, whenever we're or not walking around pretending we don't have issues, but the people that we work with, the people we do life with, the people that are, you know, the parents of the kids that are playing sports with our kids, even in the aisles of HEB, they know that you're experiencing the same kinds of hard that they are. that you've lost people too, that you experienced COVID as well, that some of the hardship of these things that we experience on this side of heaven, like we feel them too, but we walk, a worshiper walks through hard things differently.
Right.
It's not that they walk through unaffected or unscathed, but they walk through with hope. Worship tethers you to hope.
That's so good.
It tethers you to hope. And so it is the fruit of our lives.
Yeah.
Worship is.
Yeah.
You know, we don't walk around pretending that things are better than they are. Yes, this hurts. Yes, I don't like it any more than you do, but I am tethered to hope because I am choosing to worship through the battle. That is warfare.
Yeah.
I think they'll just even see it on your face.
Yeah, right. They want to know
you can
why.
You can see on faces when people are really struggling. And so I know the Lord will put those people in our lives.
Yeah.
So we can speak some hope.
So we've said worship is more than just music. Okay. If it's more than music, if it's more than singing, what else is worship? What else can we say? Hey, this qualifies.
It's ministry.
Ministry to God.
To God.
Yeah. In what ways? With music, yeah. But what else?
I think in every your entire, sometimes we want to relegate like sacred moments to a church service, but really your whole life was designed to be this sacred moment. So I worship when I'm mothering my children.
Yeah.
I worship when I'm making their toast in the morning. Yeah. I'm worshiping when I'm honoring and serving my husband. I'm worshiping when I'm cleaning my home and trying to provide a stable, peaceful, loving environment for my kids and my husband. I mean, our lives, they're supposed to be this cacophony of worship. You know what I'm saying? It's important.
Right. But in that, you can do those things in a rote way.
Right.
Or you can do those things as a participant in worship.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
In your heart. I mean,
it's all about your heart.
It's good. Because, I mean, I know sometimes when I'm doing something that I have to do.
Right.
But my heart is not right in that. And it makes all the difference. Just like when you watch your kiddos, you know, if they do something you're asking them to do, you know, joyously, it's so different than when they're like stomping and kicking and screaming and they're still doing it. And you're thinking, you don't have that one right yet, you know, and that's probably what God does with us. But he knows when we get that, then we're whole.
Yeah.
We become whole. And that's his goal for us, to be whole in him.
Right.
And I love that.
Right. So serving is worship.
Yeah. It is.
And I heard it said, and I love this analogy. I heard Kaylee Kennedy say this when she was with us, that God's love language, if we want to really minister to God, we need to know his love language. And, you know, because there's this book called The Five Languages of Love, and the whole premise is that I need to find out what makes you feel loved if I'm going to communicate love to you. Well, what makes God feel loved is obedience. And so he's looking, I mean, we can sing songs all day long, but if we're not walking in obedience, it's just really noise to him.
Yeah.
We can live a life and serve people. But if we're at the same time, just choosing not to walk in what we know is right and obedient and holy and righteous, not that we're perfect, but that we're just trying to be submitted to him and surrender, you know, our heart to him in every aspect, that if we're intentionally just not doing those things, then we're really not loving Jesus and we're really not ministering to him.
And he knows the difference.
Yeah.
I mean, you can come in, you attend a church for any amount of time, you can pick up the body language.
Right.
You know when to throw those hands up on the chorus, right. you know, but the word says that true worship, authentic worship, it's like sweet incense to him.
Yeah.
It smells good. He knows. Yeah. And anything that is inauthentic, he doesn't want anything to do with it.
Yeah.
And so how do we cultivate lives that are authentic? How do we become authentic worshipers?
Yeah.
That was so powerful to me when Kaylee spoke that about obedience being God's love language. And it clicks.
Yeah.
You think he said, if you love me, you will obey me.
Yeah.
And it's like, but having a heart of obedience, it's not looking, it's not obeying in the things you want to do.
Only that.
Or understand or get or agree with. But it's really what Jesus did for us. It's just laying down your life and saying, God, I may not get this, but I know your way is better. Your way is better.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to trust you and I'm going to do what you tell me to do. And I mean, we know those times where it's been a struggle to obey. It is a struggle to obey in some things.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not easy. And I think that is where we really show our love for him.
Right.
When it's not easy.
Yeah.
I mean, when it is easy and we agree with it, you know.
You know, it's when we also identify with Jesus.
Yeah.
Not only in the resurrection, the life, but we identify with him in the suffering, the hard stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and if we want to know Jesus in every way, you can't just choose to know this aspect of him and leave this aspect aside because it's just too hard to know him that way, you know?
Yeah.
But there is such value and reward and treasure in knowing him in the midst of hardship.
Yeah.
That we're missing if we don't ever let him permeate our thoughts and our spirits in the midst of hardship. We're missing it.
And then that's how he grows us in those, when he's walking us through something hard and we're trusting him, and that's how he grows us. So we don't want to say no to that.
Well, John 14:15 says, if you love me, you will obey what I command.
Yeah.
So, and that takes me to another scenario where Jesus is talking to Peter and he says, Peter, do you love me?
Yeah.
Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep.
Yeah.
Peter, do you love me? I mean, he just keeps asking this. Lord, you know I love you. And he tries to tell him in different, you know, if you look into that and study it, it's in different Greek terminology that he's trying to impress upon the Lord that I do love you. I love you, you know. And the third time, Peter, do you love me? And each time the Lord is saying, feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. So another aspect of worship is evangelism, is feed my sheep, you know, because the Lord is not willing that any should perish. So he's asking us to partner with him in sheep. In sheep. So how do we do that? What do we need to, how do we worship the Lord? When evangelism.
One of the things that stood out to me when Kaylee was speaking this word was that we sing this song about he left the 99 and came after the one. And, you know, our hearts identify, I was that one and he came after me. But she's basically saying to you now you are the 99, or you're the one that's going to leave the 99 to come after the one.
Right.
And it's like we have a job to do. And I know you talked about purpose. We were made for purpose.
Yeah.
This is our life-giving purpose.
Right.
It gives life to other people, to God, and to ourselves.
Yeah.
Such a good design.
Whole life, the whole Bible, it all is leading up to this moment.
It is.
This moment.
It is.
Where we have complete, total access, and that anybody who calls on the name of Jesus can be saved. It's what everything led up to.
Right.
And if we are not actively pursuing the people that he pursued, the way he pursued us, we have missed it.
Totally.
Yeah. We can, you can do church, you can do ministry, you can do all the things. And if you are not looking at people the way he sees them, you know, one of the things that we know about him, the way he was described time and time again, was he was compassionate.
Yeah.
He was compassionate. He looked at the people and he saw that they were like sheep who were lost. They're like sheep without a shepherd. They needed someone to bring them in. And that is our job.
Right.
And if we don't see people that way, and you know when you don't see people that way.
You do.
You can hear it in your speech, in your attitudes, in the way you respond when someone does something to you. You don't get your way. So do I love people the way that he loves people? And if not, how do I learn to love them better?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And you know, he can work that in you. Yes. If you don't, if you just, what you said a while back that Regina said, admit it, you know, just admit that and ask the Lord, he'll give you that. Yeah. He wants you to have that same heart.
Yeah. Yeah. Another point that Kaylee made that stood out to me is that we're priests.
Yes.
You said, Jenna, just yes. a little bit ago, we have a job to do. Yeah. She talked about how that in Old Testament days, there were priests who intervened for the people. And then when Jesus came, he was the better priest,
right.
You know, but now because Holy Spirit lives in us, we are all priests. Right. And as priests, we have a job to do. We have a job to do with our lifestyles, with obedience, with music, with honoring the Lord with the essential of evangelism. And so, I mean, this is all so important as the coming of the Lord yes. draws near. So we're going to need to wrap up our conversation today. It's been so rich and so full, and it went so fast today. Oh my goodness, because I think we enjoy talking about worship as an essential. So if you're struggling today, let me just encourage you to establish your heart and your mind with an attitude of worship.
Yeah.
And watch the Lord do a mighty work in you, because mm-hmm. he will. He draws near when we lift him up. The Bible says all men are drawn to him when yeah. we lift him up.
Yeah.
So let's just lift him up today. He's worthy.
Yeah.
So, Lord, we just pray for those who are listening. We ask that you would minister to them today. But, Father, more than that, here's what I'm asking, that we would minister to you.
Yes.
Lord, you're worthy. So, yes, we would have hearts full of songs and establish our atmospheres with worship music, but we would also establish our lives with purity and holiness as people who walk in obedience to your commands. And we would also, Lord Jesus, establish our hearts towards evangelism and the people you love. Because, Lord, in these last days, as the coming of the Lord, our Lord, draws near, we want to be worshipers who make it to the end strong and carrying others with us.
Yes.
In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Thank you for joining us today around the table of Origin. It was good conversation. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Origin. Go back and listen to other episodes at Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Buzzsprout, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Leave us a 5-star rating and invite your friends to listen. Join us on Facebook at Origin Podcast Global for show notes, promotional materials, and other opportunities.